including Christianity. That God is good and people are bad, and that we somehow have to measure up in order for God to accept us. You ever thought about that? You ever know anybody that thinks that way? We have to kind of measure up, getting God's good graces. Where did that idea come from? And more importantly, do you believe that? Do you believe that God's good and you're bad, and so to have any kind of relationship with God, you've got to just kind of live by a bunch of rules all the time, all the time? Here's how you'd know if you believe that. If someone asked you if you were going to heaven, what would your knee-jerk reaction be? Just right out of the blocks, without thinking about it for a long time, without kind of thinking, what's the Pentecostally correct thing to say? What would you say? Would you instinctively associate your behavior with your acceptability to God? Well, I've been pretty good. I wasn't doing so good 2 weeks ago, but man, I've been doing really great for 2 weeks. So if God came today, I'd be going to heaven. Is that how you think about it? Don't you think that's why a lot of people avoid church altogether? They feel like they have to clean up their act before they even show up to worship with us, because they've bought into that belief that God's good, people are bad, and I've got to prove myself to God. And don't you think that's why a lot of Christians live under condemnation? Because every time they mess up, every time they make a mistake, they feel like they've been put on probation with God. And now He's evaluating their behavior for a good long while before He lets them back in His good graces. And let me address us for a minute. Don't you think that's why apostolic Christians struggle with the Scriptures teaching sometime about our lifestyle convictions? Because we feel like God has given us a bunch of rules and there's no real logical reason behind them except God's just trying to prove us and see if we'll do it. And so it's kind of like God standing back with His hands in His pocket saying, there's 152 rules, have at it. If you do good, when you die, I'll see if you made the grade. Now that way of thinking has done more to alienate people from God and more to alienate people from church than any other idea in human culture. You cannot win someone and critique them at the same time. You cannot win someone to God and hate them at the same time. You cannot scold someone enough to make them love Jesus. You can't look down your nose at someone long enough to make them think, wow, I really want some of that condemnation. You can't do it. Guilt is a very short-term motivator. Anyone ever felt guilty? Guilt is a very short-term motivator, even in church. You know, I can get up here and I can, you know, do the, we call it the crank and cry, you know. We can do that. I'm good at the cry part. We can do that, but guilt is a very short-term motivator. You can't motivate people with guilt for a long, long time. But here's the thing, if God's ever sent the world a message, it is not that you have to perform to know me. It is not that you have to measure up to have the privilege of knowing me. God has sent the world this message. You will never find acceptance with God through your behavior. You can't get good enough to deserve a relationship with God. You can't perform good enough or go on probation long enough to merit a relationship with God. How in the world have we missed that? Because if you talk to the most of the church people, you know, they don't get that. They think that we're trying to measure up to God all the time. God's like this, the Internal Revenue Service, Revenue Canada up in heaven, kind of checking the books all the time. So, Pastor, what about the Ten Commandments? Because, you know, aren't they laws? Aren't they rules? Don't we keep those? What about all the rest of the laws and the rules and the principles and the commandments in God's Word? You know, Pastor, I do pretty good with the Ten Commandments. I've never killed anyone. I don't do that. I don't steal. It says don't steal. And I haven't really done that a lot. And don't commit adultery. Well, I definitely haven't done that. But then Jesus came along in the New Testament and He said, hating someone in your heart is murder. And then the Bible, if you read it long enough, you'll find passages in Proverbs and elsewhere that says that cheating on your taxes and wasting time at work and defaulting on loans you owe and not giving your tithe to God's church are all stealing. Someone say, ouch. And Jesus said, if you even think lustful thoughts about someone, that's the same as adultery. So, if God came to earth and gave the rules, and then he came, if God gave the rules and then he came to earth as a man, and what Jesus did was he raised the standard even further than the Old Testament, is he really just waiting for us to die so that he can grade us on how well we follow the rules? You know, there you go. See how good you can do with that. That's a scary scenario to me. The secret to this conundrum is the connection between rules. Everyone say rules. And relationship. So God's got rules, yes. But he wants us to have a relationship. And it's not just a New Testament concept. And for just a few minutes this morning, I want to take you to a familiar Bible event that we know as the giving of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, if you've got your Bibles. And in Exodus chapter 20, we read this. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, you know this if you're a parent or if you are a child. How many are one of the two? Okay, good. Not act like a child, just you are one. You can tell a lot about a person by the rules they give. Different homes have different rules. Different offices have different rules. Different work environments have different rules. You can tell a lot about a person by the rules they give and who they give those rules to. For example, if you're a parent here, you give rules to your kids that you wouldn't care if you gave them to anybody else's kids. Because rules are connected with relationship. By looking at God's rules, which he's about to give to Moses here in Exodus 20, you can tell a lot about his character and you can tell a lot about what he values. And you can tell a lot about what kind of relationship God wants to have with you. Now, at that point in Exodus 20, verse 1 and 2, when God is getting ready to give the Ten Commandments to Moses, the nation of Israel has no history but slavery. They've been a nation for about 400 years, but that whole 400 years, they were not a nation before they went into Egypt. They were a big family, but they grew into a nation. And so for 400 years, all of their history, they've never had any history but slavery. Slavery is in their brain. Slavery is in their DNA and their mentality. They have never been free. Now, this is important to notice, and you might want to write this down. They had no laws up until that time. You don't need law when you're a slave. Your master, whoever that hard taskmaster is, he tells you what to do. So you don't need law if you're a slave. You just get up every morning and he just tells you where to go and what to do. You don't need that law. You only need law. Listen, you only need law when you're a free people. Why we have laws in Canada is because we're free people. They don't pay attention to laws in states where there's a tyrant at the helm. He just tells the people what to do. He takes what he wants. He does what he wants. Nobody has any power but him. But we're a free people in Canada, so we need laws. Do you realize that laws aren't associated with bondage? Laws are associated with freedom. You get laws when you get free. That's the way it works all throughout the world. And so, for 400 years, these people have not had a word from God. And then God speaks. Put that scripture back up, guys. Exodus 20, verse 1. God said, I am the Lord. What's the next word? Thy. Everyone say thy. I am the Lord thy God. In other words, what God's saying to them is, I'm not the God up in the heavens. I'm your God. Everyone say my God. God's saying, I'm your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. And that has to make Moses do a mental flashback. Because when Moses gets the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, it is just 3 months since Exodus chapter 12. And in Exodus chapter 12, something miraculous happened to Israel. Moses says, God, you're telling us you already have a relationship with us. I am the Lord thy God. I'm your God. I'm not just God up in the heavens. I have a relationship with you already. Now, Moses is a strong leader, but Exodus is not a book about leadership. It's a book about God's delivering power. Listen, when God says, let my people go, somebody or something better get out of the way, because God's going to do what God wants to do. And so 3 months before, God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses. 3 months before, God lets his people go. There's a showdown between Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, and Jehovah, the great God of Israel, and it comes to an impasse. They've had 9 plagues. Every god in Egypt has been disgraced and humiliated. They worship the Nile River. The Nile River turned to blood. They worship the sun god. God darkened the sun. They worship flies. God sent a plague of flies. They worship frogs. God sent a plague of frogs. Every Egyptian god, that wasn't just God throwing a temper tantrum and pouring out plagues. He systematically and orderly, he humiliated every single Egyptian deity. And now Egypt is in shambles and its gods are humiliated by Jehovah's power. And its people are living in fear from seeing the Nile River turn to blood and their crops and their animals die and plagues of frogs and lice and flies and boils and hail and locusts. And they've experienced darkness for 3 days. And the whole country's terrified. And Pharaoh keeps hardening his heart and they are in major trouble. And finally, it comes down to one last plague and one final moment of obedience. And this night of destiny is forever called Passover. And the Jews still call it that. Because on this night, God's judgment, which was the death of every firstborn child in Egypt, it didn't fall on Israel. Because Israel's moment of obedience allowed God's judgment to pass over their homes. Here it is, Exodus 12. This is what Moses has to be flashing back to as he prepares to get the Ten Commandments. Because God said, I'm the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. Well, that just happened 3 months ago. And so Moses' mind goes back to this. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, God said. I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I'll execute judgment. Look, I am the Lord. God said, I can do it because I'm God. Now here it is. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And this is so important. It carries over spiritually into the New Testament. It carries over through millions of Christians by now. It carries over to the present day. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. God said, I'll do that for you. God's first command to Israel was not on Mount Sinai. It was while they were still in Egypt. God here issues a thou shalt rule. You put the blood on the doorposts of your houses, and when I see what you did, when I see that you obeyed, when I see that you listened, when I see that you did what I asked you to do, I will pass judgment over you. And it's at that moment that God becomes Israel's God. It is not when they receive the Ten Commandments and they start to keep commandment 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That is not where God becomes their God and they become God's people. They are already God's people from the moment the blood was applied to them. From that moment, they are God's people. And God didn't give them, listen, He didn't give them rules to establish a relationship. He gave them rules because they already had a relationship. If you ever understand that, it'll change the way you serve God forever. We are not living holy lives because God is demanding it. We are not showing up to church because if we don't, we're in trouble with God and we go to hell instead of heaven. That's not why we're here this morning. We're here because a few months ago or several years ago or whenever it was for you, the blood was applied to your life and you experienced a new birth and God's judgment passed over you. And so now you're sitting here this morning loving God and worshiping God and serving God. We don't get rules so we can measure up to God. We don't get rules so we can prove to God something. We get God's rules because we're part of His family. We have relationship first and then rules. Come on back to the music. Somebody just fainted. Pastor called the music this early. Now, fast forward back to Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments are not given to see if Israel can have a relationship with God. They already have a relationship with God. They are not given to see if God will be their God. They're given because God already is their God. If the Jews could have said something loud and clear at Mount Sinai, they would have said, we're not here to get in. We're here because we're already in. If I could get every apostolic Christian in the 21st century to realize this, I would. We don't do what we do to get in. We do what we do because we're already in. We don't lift our hands to get in. We lift our hands because we're already in. We don't dance and sing and shout because we need to get in. We dance and sing and shout because we love God, that He's already placed us in His family. Totally different attitude. So now, having established that we are God's and He is ours, now, after God said to Moses, I'm your God, and Moses kind of probably does the flashback, well, yeah, you're our God, not because we're about to get a list of rules and then you'll be our God. You're our God because you did something miraculous in our lives. You're our God because you reached into 400 years of slavery and you pulled us out by your miracle working power. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place, but can I jump ahead to the 21st century? We are not serving God, living holy, keeping Bible commandments because we're trying to achieve some kind of brownie points with God. We're doing all of that. Whatever we do to the Lord, we do it out of a heart of love. Because God has already delivered us from the slavery of sin. We weren't in bondage for 400 years, but some of you were in bondage for 40 years. You couldn't get out. You didn't know how to get out. You didn't know how to get free. You didn't know how to set yourself loose. And then God reaches down into the middle of your life and He pulls you out of that. And every time I see one of our new believers just kind of stand to their feet and they kind of look around almost like, am I doing this right? Because I haven't been part of this church for very long. And they're kind of watching the rest of you, which is a bad thing in some cases. But they're watching the rest of you and they think, am I doing this right? But I love it when I see them lift up their hands and just start to cry in the presence of God. And sometimes their hands begin to shake. You know what they're saying? I'm not here because I'm trying to prove to God that I'm a good person. I'm here because God took a bad person and He lifted me up and I'm thankful. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to live for God. Tell me what Scripture says. Tell me how to apply the rules. I want to do it because God already established a relationship with me. Can you see it? God's rules are not a condition of relationship. They are a confirmation of relationship. So after all that, flashback, Moses, Passover, whatever, here it is. The first rule. Everyone say the first rule. Here's the first rule God gives to us through Israel. That story. Exodus 20 verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now don't you think after all God had done for Israel, He set them free from bondage, He brought them out from 400 years of slavery. Don't you think that Moses' reaction was, huh? What do you mean? Thou shalt have no other gods. What do you mean I want to be your God? Of course you're our God. You're the one that brought us out. Of course I'm not going to have any other gods. Of course I don't want... See, it turns it all around. That wasn't a rule God pounded into Moses' head. That was a commitment between Moses and God. God said, since I've brought you out, and since I set you free, and since I've given you all of these blessings, you know what? I'd like to be your God. And Moses said, of course you're our God. Not the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commitments. Of course you're our God. This is not to get in. This is because we're already in. Rules never establish a relationship with your Heavenly Father. His rules are given because you already have a relationship with Him. Because here's what God knows, and every parent of any child knows this, that rules without relationship always lead to rebellion. Rules without relationship always lead to rebellion. You give a rule, but you don't have a relationship with that person, they're just going to rebel against that rule. They may do it openly, or they may do it secretly, but they'll rebel. And if all we are is a collection of Bible rules, and we don't have relationship with God, that always leads to rebellion. People don't get it, they don't understand it, they don't know why they do it, they don't want to do it, they think this is ridiculous, God's just given a bunch of ridiculous rules. But if you have a relationship, rules with relationship cancel out rebellion. You just want to do it because God just kind of hinted at it that He'd like it. So it's like, of course I'm going to do it. Of course you're my God. Of course I want to live holy for you. Of course I do. And that's why many people resist the very rules of God that would bring His blessing on their lives and His blessing on their homes and His blessing on their marriages and His blessing on their futures. They resist because they don't have a relationship. They have a dysfunctional relationship with God. They think He's up there policing them. He's not. He's up there loving you. Everything about you. I'm finishing. If God ever compliments you by giving you a rule, it is just evidence that you are already His child. You know, you'll hardly ever meet a Christian who made a major lifestyle change because of guilt. But you will meet thousands of Christians, and there are dozens of them here, who made a major lifestyle change because we experienced our own personal Exodus story. Once we were slaves. We had no history but slavery. We didn't know anything about God but just that He was up there somewhere, but He didn't care about us. But then God just appeared in our lives. It was through the witness of a friend. It was through that church service that we went to that we thought it was just something to do. And we found out God had made a divine appointment for us to be there. And God lifted us out of slavery. And He set our feet on the rock. And because He did that, we made some major lifestyle changes. Just, it was automatic. We were in bondage and we couldn't get out and God delivered us. Of course, He's our God. Just tell me what the Bible says and I'll do it. I didn't even have to understand it all. I just love God. Just tell me what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, I'll do it. I'll let the understanding come later. We made our lifestyle changes not out of guilt. We made them out of gratitude. I'm done. How many pet owners do we have here? Lift your hand high. You're so proud of that little precious bundle of joy. Pet owners, whose dog do you keep inside your fence? You keep your dog inside your fence. You don't care where your neighbor's dog is, as long as it's not in your yard. You keep your dog inside your fence. Stupid question. Profound answer. Did your dog become your dog when you put it in your yard? I don't think so, because then every time it leaves your yard, which is often for some of you, it ceases to become your dog. I'm not over there all the time, but I've seen Pastor Jack running helter-skelter around the street many times. He kind of runs like this, you know. He's like half crouched. He's trying to catch, I don't know, Gracie. What a name for a pastor's dog, Grace. Wonderful. He just needs a little mercy to go along with it, I think. Your dog didn't become your dog when you put it in your house or in your yard. Your dog didn't become your dog when you put it on a leash. Because then if it runs away and goes to somebody else's yard, it's automatically their dog. Your dog became your dog the day you purchased it. The reason you put your dog inside your fence, the reason you keep your dog in your nice warm house at night with all the rest of the humans that are allergic to it, the reason you do that is because it already belongs to you. Stupid example. Profound point. You didn't become a Christian the day you showed up at 71 Downing Street and started coming regularly to the same building every week. You didn't become a Christian when you started keeping a bunch of rules out of the Bible. You didn't become a Christian when you started kind of checking off the points. Well, I kind of act like those Pentecostals now, and I kind of look like them now, and I kind of do what they do, and I go to church as much as they go to church. That's how I know I'm a Christian. That is absolutely ridiculous, and guilt is such a short-term motivator that won't even last. I became a Christian when God reached down, and all I had to do was obey what He said. He just said, "Do you want to be born again?" And I said, "Yes, here's how. God, let me in. Sign me up. Let me do that." And when I put God as the center of my life, that's when I became a Christian. I've already got a relationship with Him. You don't need to boss me around, tell me what to do, spy on me to figure out if I'm going to do this. All you need to do is say it's in the book and I'm there already. Not because I'm so good, but because He's so good. Not because I'm so smart, but because God's ways are higher than my ways. Stand with me. I don't serve the Lord because I love rules. I serve the Lord because I love Him. Ten Commandments? I don't think so. 10 commitments over the next 4 weeks. We're going to kind of break it down a little bit. But could I get you to lift up your hands and thank God that you already have a relationship with Him? Could I get you to lift up your hands and thank God that you're already His child? I'm keeping God's law because I already am possessed by Him. I'm already owned and purchased by Him. I've already been delivered by Him. You don't have to force me. You don't have to make me. I'm not here because I'm trying to keep up with you. I'm not here because I'm trying to compete with them. I'm here because I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart and my mind and my soul and my strength. Wow. That's how we live it. That's how we live it. And if you live it that way, you know what I know? Is that if you live that way, all the rules will eventually look after themselves. We don't worry about people who aren't quite sure about all the things that the Bible asks and they don't quite get it yet, but they love God with all their heart. We don't even worry about them. We just keep working with them, praying with them, teach them, because we know if that relationship's there, all the rest will eventually look after itself. You know who we worry about? Is the people that are always saying, do I have to do that? 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 And they continue that on for years and years and years and years and years and years. They're living for God by a rule book. Rules without relationship brings rebellion, but rules with relationship. That's what you do for your kids. That's what your parents did for you if they loved you. That cancels out rebellion. I want to pray for you because we're going to dismiss right now. But I want to pray for you because so many of us, we're living for God based on what we think we need to become. So your living for God is always way out there in the future. If only, if then, if when. And here's what, if I could just get you to shift gears in your mind. If you're a child of God filled with His Spirit, you are not trying to become a child of God. You are a child of God. Listen, you're not trying to get victory. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you already have victory inside of you. You're not trying to become holy. You already are holy. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You just need to live it out. You just need to let God do it. Relationship. How many are glad for the Lord? Would you lift up your hands? Let's pray together. Would you pray with Pastor? Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for this wonderful time to be together as the family of God. God, so many things have happened in this service. Thank You for the privilege of linking up with missions around the world. And thank You for our church family, our young people and our seniors and everybody that's part of the life and the fabric of this church. And thank You for the transitions of life and various families that we've experienced this week. And it's just a relationship with You. It's living for You from day to day and week to week and month to month and year to year. And God, every so often a brand new person comes into our family. God, You brought little Chloe into the world this week for Matt and Benita, and I thank You for that. But God, You've brought so many new believers into Your spiritual family over the last few months, and God, we thank You for that. God, thank You for every little cry that comes out of a brand new life. Thank You for their first steps. Thank You, God, when they learn to sit up. Thank You, God, when they learn to kind of walk and negotiate. Thank You, God, for what You're doing. Because Jesus, this is not about us keeping a code book or a rule book. Lord, we love You. We're so excited that in a city like Fredericton, way off the beaten path of all the major cities of the world, You reached down here and You pulled this group of people out of the slavery of sin and You made us ready for heaven. God, we're not here because we're trying to get in. We're here because You allowed us to already be in. And God, whatever You want, we say with Israel of old, we say, You are our God. You don't have to ask. You already are our God. We declare You our God. Whatever You want, we're there. Whatever You need from us, God, we're there. Use us for Your kingdom. We thank You for the privilege and the high honor of being Your people. We're not here because we had to be. We're here, Jesus, because we want to be. Thank You for that. And let it be a revelation of Your Word. And let Your Spirit speak to every person that has stood in this sanctuary today. God, let it drill down deep in their soul. Let it drill down deep in their heart. Let it drill down deep in their mind and in their thinking. That because they are your child already, that's why you have honored us. You have complimented us.